From the School of Communication at Loyola University Chicago, this is Q&A with Jill Geisler.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a really tough question. How do I manage during scandal? And I'm specifically talking about sexual harassment scandals. In this post-Weinstein era, a lot of organizations are taking a long, hard look at what's gone wrong in their workplaces that kept women silent for so long, women who are now feeling free to speak out. And the stories are horrific in many cases. So now, as a manager, you have to do something about it, to investigate, to deal with your staff, to deal with the victims, to deal with the media. Well, speaking of media, newsrooms are going through this very issue, from NPR to many others, and by the way, I teach at NPR. And because I work with newsrooms, the Columbia Journalism Review asked me to address this topic in the monthly column that I do for CJR. And it's the November issue, and I was asked, what are the best things to do when you're managing during a scandal? So I put a list of bullet points and advice together and called it a reality check. And whether you're in news or any kind of occupation, all of these can apply to you. So let me give you some of these reality check points. When you're investigating alleged misdeeds, the investigators look at violations of laws and regulations and rules and policies. But not all wrongdoing fits into those neat boxes. A behavior can be wrong even if there's no specific rule against it. What if you have a male employee who consistently has only female, young female interns, and maybe expects them to work late with him? Maybe nothing has happened, but other people have begun to get very uncomfortable with that pattern of behavior. Does it break a rule? Has it broken a law? Perhaps not, but you have to check the pattern. Consider the impact. Consider the power differential between the accused and those who are affected. You need to expect the highest standard of conduct from your most powerful and influential team members. Here's something else to remember. Your organization uses HR and legal departments to ensure fair investigative process, but some employees may not trust them. That seems like an insult to well-intentioned experts, but there's often a fear that their role is to protect the company first and the employees second. You need to address those concerns by being transparent as possible about an investigative process. And this, when trust is low, and fear of reprisals is high, victims and witnesses are less likely to speak up. You need to use your own credibility and clout to encourage their candor. And you know what? Those whistleblowers may ask you for anonymity. At the same time, your staff is asking for transparency about an investigation. They want to know what's going on. And you have pledged confidentiality. So you need to explain your conundrum to them and just say, I need you to respect the wishes of your colleagues. You know, the rumor mill is going to work overtime, and it could be a source of solid tips or fact-free gossip. You have to be both a trusted listener and a vigilant mythbuster. And let's say you're going to have a meeting in which people want to talk publicly, just as a group, all together. Well, you've got to decide whether that meeting should be on the record or off the record. Is it public outside of your walls, or is it just a public meeting inside the building? You need to know so that everyone knows what the ground rules are. And you need to expect that your employees are going to be sources and tipsters to reporters in the outside of your organization, and if they are telling the truth, you can't sanction them. You need to have a plan for responding to external media inquiries. If somebody's going to report on your organization's problems, don't hide. You need to reach out to ethics experts for clear-eyed guidance if you have any concerns. And you also need to realize that during a crisis, something called hindsight bias surfaces. It's the belief that something was obvious or could have been predicted. Now, that belief may or may not be right, but it's real. And please remember this. Critical events, they'll rip the scab off of old injuries. People who've had bad past experience at work, even unrelated to the current scandal, may feel aggrieved anew. You need to be responsive to them, not dismissive. You need to apologize sincerely for bad decisions or missed opportunities. And please, listen to your staff. Involve them in the path forward, from rewriting rules to correcting your culture. And you should assume that your story of scandal will linger in-house for a long time. You need to make it your mission to write some new chapters. And you need to resolve to hire and promote for character and talent, not just talent alone. Let no one be considered so indispensable that their bad behavior gets a pass. You must lead with integrity, not just as an enforcer of rules, but as an unabashed advocate of values. And at the end of the day, thank your friends, because after going through scandal and managing and leading through it, you'll know who your real friends are. Now that's from my Columbia Journalism Review column, November of 2017. You can find it online. And I wish you the very best as you make things right in your organization. That's Q&A for today. For Loyola University in Chicago, I'm Jill Geisler.